appreciate that. Let's give Sister Doris a hand tonight. Thank you, Jesus. I want to read some scripture tonight and something that God has put in my spirit to share, and just so thankful for all of you that are here and appreciate the words of our pastor, and thankful for all our visitors that have come. And if you want to follow along with this, I want to start in the 6th chapter of the book of Ephesians, and we'll start reading around the 10th verse. And while you're getting there, I'll just go ahead and share with you what God had quickened in my spirit over the course of the day. And as I was praying and meditating to Him, I began to reach a conclusion in my mind. And I just shared these thoughts to God that, Lord, we've forgotten who we are. We've walked away from the mirror that represents the reflection of our Christianity, and we forgot who we are. And I feel like that we've got a lot of people here tonight that are trying to fight the good fight. But there are a lot of people out there tonight that are fighting an even greater fight than we are. And they're fighting the fight for their soul. And in order for us to be able to help win souls, we certainly got to know who we are. We've got to know who is in us and what represents what I'll say is our spiritual identity. Now I want to read this scripture to you tonight. And it says at verse 10, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with the truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always with prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints." I thank God tonight for this word, and I begin to read this, and I know we're familiar with this scripture if we are a reader or a studier of the Word of God. But what I begin to take from that is that putting on the armor has purpose. And when you wear the armor of God, it is protecting something. Now, when you think about what you would wear armor for in a physical form, you are protecting yourself from physical harm. Now, if you were going to put on mental armor, you would be protecting yourself from mental harm. But this scripture's talking about something a little bit deeper than just physical, a little deeper than just mental. It's talking about putting on the spiritual armor of God. I'm telling you tonight, when it concerns our body, we take multivitamins, we try to diet, we try to exercise and do what we know to do to protect ourselves. When it concerns our state of mental state, we try to read everything we can to encourage us. We have a good support system to help us. We've got good friends. We've got a good church. People to make us feel like we're special. But concerning our spiritual identity, the armor's gone. And we are left unprotected and susceptible to the enemy's attacks on our spiritual identity. Now let me ask you tonight, in a spiritual context, who do you think you are? Look over somebody and ask them, who do you think you are? Now, as I was reading, I began to understand that God was trying to tell me something. You see, there was a time in the Bible where He sent people out in more of physical confrontation. And there was a time in the Bible when people were put through great constraints and had to suffer mental warfare to be strong. But the day we're living in is not only just physical anymore, and it's not just mental anymore. It's a spiritual battle. And if we're going to win in this spiritual battle, we've got to put on what protects our spiritual identity. And when I begin to seek God about this, you know what he told me? We're not in just a war of the flesh. We're not just in a war of our mental state. We're in a spiritual war for our Christianity. I don't know if it's worth fighting for to you tonight, but it's worth fighting for to me to take a stand for the Word of God. Since if we've ever going to be proud of who we are and what we represent and what we stand up for, it's got to be the identity which is Christ in us. So who do we think we are? Well, concerning our healing, we know who we are. Concerning the peace of God, we know who we are. But concerning spiritual warfare, do we understand who we are? Let me tell you, you are covered. You are protected. And you are armed with what will keep you in the midst of your worst struggle. Let me tell you, the devil is not just going to attack your physical state. That's where he'll start. He's not just going to attack your mental state, but that's where he'll start. And he's not just after your physical and your mental, but he's wanting to challenge your spiritual identity. Now, how do you know who you are unless you have faith? You know you were saved because you had faith to believe in your identity. You claim salvation. It is your salvation. And if it's your salvation, then we ought to use what it was designed to do. It was designed to make us free. How many of you know a part of your identity is that you're free? You're not bound in here tonight. You don't have legions of demons holding you down from praising God tonight. You don't have imps and powers of darkness that keep you from repenting tonight. He said, whosoever will, let him come. And I believe with all that's in me, no matter how hard the struggle, if we'll come to God and believe in the identity he told us that we could have, that there's no mountain too high, no valley too low, that our God in heaven won't be able to bless us with and give us hope for. You better know who you are. Your battle ain't in your flesh. It's not in what you think that's your battle. But that's where the devil wants you to stay. Because every day you fight to protect your physical identity, you don't give priority to spiritual things. So how do we protect our spiritual identity? By what we wear, how we feel, right? By what we take, by what the doctor tells us. But there's a greater protection we can apply if we believe. He said, only believe. He said, by the stripes of Christ that you were healed. He said, the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your minds and hearts. You know what that tells me? If I believe it and put it on for what it's worth, then I won't be attacked in my mind. I don't know how many of you tonight have been attacked in your mind this week, but yet you don't have to be lost to be attacked in your mind. You can know God and feel God and still be oppressed by the enemy. Now, before I get too excited, I want to read some things that God put in my spirit. I'm just going to read these. Every one of these are scripturally based, but I want to talk about some of the parts of your identity. Is this okay? It's a little different, but I'm just going to obey God the way I feel him tonight. I am competent not in mine own abilities, but because he has made me competent by his Spirit. And I abide in Christ, he abides in me, and I bear much fruit. I have the mind of Christ. Therefore, I act in a way that is consistent with his actions. He will never leave me nor forsake me. I do not look with disdain upon my weakness. I see them as an opportunity for God to display his powerful strength in grace through me. There is no weapon, oh hallelujah, formed against me that'll prosper. And every tongue that rises up against me in judgment shall be condemned. The Spirit indwells and is within me. Therefore I am the temple of the living God. The one who is in me is greater than he that is in the world. As an obedient person of the Lord, and receive the prosperous abundance and blessing that he will bestow upon me. Are we getting a hold of that tonight? Are we thinking about all the things that God tells us? I feel this all over me. I walk by the Spirit, and I do not fulfill the desire of my flesh. I love this part. I am enabled to exhibit the fruit of his Spirit. Hallelujah. Love and joy, peace and patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. I love that phrasing. I am enabled to show my fruit. I am empowered to show my identity. You want to know what should be a part of you? The fruit of the Spirit. If you protect your spiritual identity, guess what? You're going to bear spiritual fruit. And if you bear spiritual fruit, you're going to be in a good mood. You're going to do good things. You're going to be a good influence to other people. So if your checklist says that your first tendency is to complain, your first tendency is to judge other things in your own mind, your next tendency is to speak ill of other people, your next tendency is to think negatively, then we have let our spiritual identity be under attack of the enemy. The power of life and death is what? In your word. And if the word is in you, then you have the ability to use God's words for your good. But don't you know tonight that if you let the enemy roam rampant in your life, you'll wield the wrong kind of weapon. You'll do damage you can't repair, and you'll do things you can't repay. There's so many out there tonight, Doris, that have been lost because of the church's inability to protect who they are. If we do nothing else every single service but stand up to the enemy and let him know that we have on our armor, that we shall not be moved, that we shall defend the word of God, if we do nothing else other than that, at least we have not taken a step backward. But where are we? Right? We were losing our identity. People think that spiritual things are just in spiritual gifts, but that's not so. Spiritual gifts were a gift of God to show the evidence to the lost that he is real. But there is an inner spiritual experience that God has for you to protect your identity. Let me tell you something. The greatest purpose of the anointing was not just to be talented in your gift or in your calling. One of the greatest gifts that the anointing was given for was for you to protect who you are. If you have the knowledge of knowing who you are, then you'll never perish. People perish for the lack of knowledge. If we don't know who we are, if we don't reap the word of God and live it the way we know it, then we lose ourselves in what we go through. Too many times I've prayed with people that had lost their identity. They came standing for something different, for a need, for a problem, for a situation. But I realized that while it's good to pray for the problem at hand, there's something deeper to look inside of each and every one of us to know that when we go home at the end of the day, when the sun sets and the dust has settled, that when we go to rise again, that we know who we are. For without that, we would just have a Savior that was left in the tomb. For without that, we would have just had one that gave it up and left it on the cross. But I'm glad that Jesus didn't leave it on the cross, and he didn't leave it in the tomb. But he fought for us all the way to the end so that we'd finally be free and know exactly who we are. You see,
see, there's a realm that God wants you to walk in that you will protect every day of your life. There is just as much importance to protect your anointing as there is to protect your children. There's as much importance to stand for the gifts and callings of God than there is to believe in the country you live in. There is more important things to be doing with what you've got inside of you than just coming to church, than just existing in church. There's a difference to be made. You better know who you are. I know that you love me. Maybe not right now. Maybe this hurts a little bit. That's all right. I know you might not like this, and that's okay. And I know we're friends and brothers and sisters in the Lord. But let me tell you something. If we are given another day, we need to be ready for that moment in the tomorrow. And without prayer, fasting, supplication and desire, devotion and worship to God, we are unprotected. Don't matter how many times you come to church, coming to church is good. Don't get me wrong. Doesn't matter how many times you're going to bless the offering plate. Doing that is wonderful. It keeps the lights on in the house of God. But there's something more to do. Because I tell you, I've met so many people, Doris, in my lifetime that were the greatest givers, the greatest attendees, but the most miserable in heart because they didn't know who they were. Church members living in depression for years, having to preach people's funerals of church members that commit suicide, seeing people that have been delivered for years and years from their problems, falling back into false comfort because they lost track of who they were. It's a dangerous thing to know to do good and do it not. It'll be a troublesome experience in your life if you do not fight for your spiritual identity. I'm going to read a few more of these and I'll come to a close here. The Lord guards my going out and coming in today and forever. I have been made in the very image and likeness of God Himself. This is my heritage. That's my identity. That is my lineage. Hallelujah. I have not been given the spirit of the world. Rather, I have the spirit of God that I might know the mind and will of God for me. My steps have been ordered and ordained by the Lord. I am a necessary and useful part of the body of Christ, and I will use my spiritual gifts to encourage my brothers and my sisters. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I like this one. I have been given victory in Christ Jesus. I am a meek person, and I inherit the earth. We don't have to beg for God to give. It's already ours. You hear me? You don't have to beg for God to give. It's yours. It's your inheritance, your storehouse. He promised it to you. My ambition is to be pleasing to Him and Him alone. Rivers of living water flow out of my well-being. Out of who I know I am, the Spirit of God should be flowing. I have been chosen by God to bring forth fruit that shall remain. Oh, that's a good one. I am a brand new person. My old sinful nature has passed away, and everything has become new. Not like this one for me, Ephesians 1 and 7. No matter my past, I am forgiven of my sins because of the lavishness of His grace upon me. I have been given every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. I am chosen. I am redeemed. I am forgiven. I am fearfully and wonderfully made, adopted into the family of God. Whatever I ask in prayer, according to the Father's will, I believe that I have received it. I am part of a chosen
generation, a royal priesthood, and a holy nation. I am one of God's own people. We need to quit coming in not knowing who we are. We are saved. Do you believe that? Do you believe that? We are anointed and spirit-filled. Do you believe that? We know how to get a hold of God. Do you believe that? We know how to come together, don't we? But so often, we lose track of who we are. It's easy to happen. It's not something that's hard to do. One problem over the course of time becomes a part of you unless you don't let a problem become you. For a long time, drugs and alcohol ran rampant in my life. It ruined me. It had become a part of my identity. But when I received God, do you know what I understood after all that time? That wasn't who I was. Now listen to me tonight. I do not know what your struggle is, but your struggle is not your identity. You don't need to be defined just by your problem, but you need to be defined by what is the solution. If we only live to serve our problems, we only enable the problem to stay. If I believed half the things I was told when I was trying to recover on my own, I'd still profess in various meetings and gatherings that I'm an addict. But I am not one. I am not one. I am a new creature. Those things that were me have passed away. No matter what it is that's your struggle, I feel God in this place tonight. No matter what it is that's your struggle, God can help you to realize your identity is not in your problem, but it's in Him as your solution. And if you'll trust in Him, if you'll lean on Him, you'll become a different kind of person that'll believe in yourself again. You'll stand up for what you believe in again. You'll get up and believe God for who He truly is again. And you'll stop living your life being defined by your struggle. For a long time, I spent my life thinking I could not preach. Even though I knew good and well I was called. Even though I knew good and well when I testified, it was more than just saying, I thank God I'm here tonight. I knew something was going on, but I was afraid of my calling. I was afraid for it to be a part of me. Because you know what that means? When you accept a greater part of God in you, that means you have to give up a former part of yourself. There was a whole lot of things I used to love to do before I started preaching. And I enjoyed them, to be honest with you. And until I learned to let them go, I was never anointed like I truly was meant to be. And all of us have things in our life. I'm telling you this, from the top to the bottom, left to right, all around and upside down. You all have things that if you'll truly let God have them for good, and you let Him become more of who you are on a daily basis, then the scripture comes alive when it says, no weapon formed against you will prosper. What did it say to use? The sword of the Spirit. But if we aren't protecting the Spirit, then our weapon is as dull as a sanded piece of wood. Let me tell you, Too long we have sat on the identity of what we were. Well, I remember that night I ran 3 laps around the church. Woo, that was a good one. You remember that one, brother. And I want everybody in the church, come on now, to remember who I was then. But don't remember me now. Look over the fact that I have a problem with you. Look over the fact that I don't want a fellowship with you. Look over the fact I'm not interested in supporting you. Look over the fact I have no desire to do anything but sit here and look at you and be upset with what you're doing. You wonder why so many people are afraid to be bold in this last day? Because when you start assuming more of God's identity, you become more of a target. Let me tell you something. We can't say that we are of God and not have a fight on our hands. And have you ever noticed that the more that you back away from your calling, it's not as hard for you to say no to obeying Him? The more that you push away, the easier it is to reject it. But God didn't call us to reject the notion of who we are. He called us to accept it. So from the very moment I finally accepted it, Doris, and I've had encouragement from her all my life to do what I'm called to do. Never been anything less than that. But until I accepted it, until I made room for the notion that I could do it, then it never became a part of me. We can say that we're the best that there ever was. But until we live like the best we can be, how will we ever know the best we can do? I'll say this and I'll close, because we've had a lot of good stuff spoke tonight. I'm not trying to add a single thing or take away, but this I do know. We are in a fight for who we are spiritually. Brother, it's been hard to come to church and serve Him. Yeah, I know. We're in a spiritual war. Brother, it's been hard for me to back your preaching because I get distracted. Yeah, I know. We're in a spiritual war. Brother, it's hard for me to continue to support the church financially because I've got troubles going on in my life. Yeah, I know. We're in a spiritual war. If we're going to win the spiritual fight, we've got to learn to protect our spiritual things. So are we putting on the armor? It's all over what Doris was talking about. Are we doing the things in our daily living that protect who God is in our life? You want to know how you know if you're doing it right? Just look at how happy you are in general. Because if you're not happy in general, if you're not happy all the time, if you have no peace, then you've lost your spiritual identity. Now that's the truth. We can be as saved can be, and have no peace. You can know God and have all the gifts and callings, but if you don't have love, it's unprofitable. And you can understand every promise that God has ever given to you, but if you never seek for it, how can we have it? This I do know. With the years that I have left, I'm going to try my best to stand in these last days. For the young and upcoming generation of teenagers, young people, babies that are just being born, I want to be around to still be a voice for them that lets them know that I know who I am in God. And if I can have you to stand with me, stand together in these last days, if we can do anything, we ought to show people who God is by how we live our life. It doesn't have to be glamorous. We don't have to have the church full to have church. God just needs a group of people that'll serve Him like they know who they are and what they've already been given and the power that they already have. If we only used what we already had, we wouldn't spend so much time asking for more. I'll have to turn my back on that one. Go ahead and throw your stone while I'm coming up this way. If we would praise Him and appreciate some things, then we learn to count our blessings more often instead of feeling like we have nothing or no one. I tell you all the time, to be honest with you, you hear these bold, encouraging words coming from me. I face battles every day. Every single day. You know why? Every time I try to do what is right, where there is good, evil is coming and in the midst of you. He said, resist the enemy. Can I put a little bit of emphasis on resist? When we as a country are infringed in our security, what are we going to do? We're going to resist. We're going to arm a resistance against our adversary. So resisting isn't just, I'm not in the mood for it today, brother. Can you come back another time? Resistance is getting your weapon, arming yourself, putting on your armor, and going to battle the way that God has called you to. And if you're not going to fight, I can't promise you that you're going to come out on the other side with everything that God promised you. If you're not going to stand together and come together, I can't promise you that you'll have a church to come back to one day. But this I do know, for those that will agree and those that will believe and those that will arm themselves in this last day, the devil won't prosper over your life. You want to save your children? Start standing up for yourself spiritually. Want to save your church? You come in with spiritual integrity and obey God no matter what. No matter what, obey Him. Stand for Him. You know why it's so hard to obey Him in the moment when the flesh wants to dominate? Because it's the time where God is looking for a resistance against what the flesh wants to do. Your flesh wants you to sit down, say nothing, and go home unsatisfied. Let's just shake hands. Let's just pretend we're okay. Leave our masks on and go home. Take the masks off and be just as ill-content as we've ever been. Maybe that's just me. Maybe I'm the only one that's ever came in and saved face for the greater good. But I'm tired of saving face. I'm tired of hiding behind a mask of a false reality. I'm a broken person that without God, I'll never hold it together. I need Him to hold together the pieces and parts of me that I could not hold together on my own. And the more that I let Him in my life, the more He becomes a part of me. And the more that He is a part of me, the more He's a part of my identity. If you don't know who you are by now, my Lord, if we don't know what we're called to do by now, we better start seeking for who we are. We better know who to go to when things get hard. We better know how to stand up for our freedom in happiness. You know you're free to be happy anytime you want. Only ever if you're going to accept depression is it yours. You're free to laugh again. I know things are hard. And I know there'll be a season to cry, to mourn, to not understand God's plan. I know those times are there. But they're not supposed to be there forever. And when we let those things go on and on and on, it becomes who we are. And I've seen too many times over the course of my life, people that lose themselves spiritually, and they lose the rest of themselves for everything they've ever known. How could anybody ever make a mistake like that? Have you ever asked that about something? You ever wondered how sometimes things will happen and you think to yourself, how could this ever happen to them? I don't know if you ask those things. I do all the time. I wonder how we've gotten the state of shape that we're in today. And I look back on the last 20 years of my life and say, Lord, could I have done more to change the circumstance? Has it been me through the years that's caused problems? But here's what I'm understanding. We can do the best that we can. And when we don't, the people that need our best don't get anything. They starve. They dry up. They grow unsatisfied. And in the midst of that dark place, the devil gets them. You don't believe me? You want to act like this isn't so? Let me tell you, the spirit of lust is a real thing. The spirit of jealousy is so real. Darkness is real. Demons are real. Things that will make you do things you never thought you would are real. There are presences that were never meant for you to ever give ear to that are real. There's spirits that'll make you so angry in the moment you won't even know what hit you before it's over. And we can't even put up a fight. That's how far away we are from our armor. When we're easily agitated, easily aggravated, easily depressed and oppressed, we've lost our identity. That's the bottom line. You lose your spiritual identity, all of your energy and strength will be spent trying to put all back together what you lost. And that's where I was. I lost what I was driving. I lost where I was working. I lost who I loved. I lost my ambition. I lost my drive to do anything. Are you serious, brother? That's not the person that I've come to know. But that wasn't the person that I was at one point. I had to come to accept a different kind of individual. I had to begin to believe in a different kind of person. You are only held down as much as you will let yourself be. God has anointed you to be blessed. He's anointed you to be highly favored. He's anointed you to be healed. He's anointed you to be in power, to have love, and what? Sound mind. All of those things are a part of who you are. When your problems come, my friend, this I warn you, when your problems come, how you react, how you behave, what you do when no one else sees defines your spiritual identity. Because if you do for you first and not for Him, you have forsaken God first in your life. No other way to put that. If we lose our sense of who God is, then we stop believing for what He can do. And if we stop believing in what He can do, then all of our loved ones, our children, our community will die lost, consumed in a burning fire for eternity. I don't know how serious of a matter you can raise other than that. It makes me realize the battle's more important than worrying about if 30 or 40 people are going to get up and all shout at once because I preach good. You know what I'm saying? My battle for my life is more important than if everybody loved the song or not. You got to do it anyway. Do you hear me tonight? You've got to praise Him anyway. You've got to pray anyway. You've got to study. You've got to read anyway. That's how you fight for who you are. Doris, we've lost ourselves. We stand in our problems and feel like God has left us. But we've lost ourselves. He would never leave His children. Not to even beg for anything. That's what the Word says. I say this as I close. Some of you can say, "Thank you, Lord." But I say this. The next time you react to something and you regret what you did, ask yourself, do I know who I am? Do I know who I am and why I would do this? And chances are, if that answer doesn't lean towards God, it's time to make some adjustments in our life. I love you and appreciate you. Be blessed.